Well, it's a privilege to get to be here again. Thank you all for letting us come and being able to speak to you a little bit this morning. So I appreciate your time and attention. And I desire your prayers. Never feel like that anything's accomplished without the Lord in it. I'd like to start with a scripture in Genesis, in the creation story. It's a great story. It's beyond our comprehension to think about everything that was created by him and for him. It says in John, I think. And what he created. And of all that he created, it says in the first chapter of Genesis, in the 27th verse, after it, I'll go to 26th verse, and after he had created all, and it was all good. He said after the first, in the days, that it was good. But after he created man, he said it was very good. Amazing idea that the monumental, if you want, or the outstanding part of creation, his crowning creation, was mankind. 26th verse says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So my mind was going to the idea of God's great creation. And he says of this creation, man, mankind, the crowning creation. He said in his image, he created man. Well, I think that's hard to grasp altogether too. And we've used it many times that would refer to not necessarily a physical body type thing, but that he created us in the image of a purity and holiness of surely God is the image of that. He is holiness. He is purity and God is love and all of those things. And some say that this passage was actually talking about it in context of being a creator, and he created man with an intelligent, he made other creatures with functioning minds and brains and all of that, but of man, he made them in the image of God, that he was an intellect superior, that he would have the capacity of mathematics, he would have the capacity of understanding to be able to create and take what God had done and create from that. And man has surely accomplished that. We can look and say that man has been able to do those, from aeronomics to spaceships to all of the things that man has done with computers and all of that. Surely he's done all those things. But of all of the creation, I want you to think about it. Of all the creation that God created, this earth is just unbelievable in the way its cycles go and plant life and all of the life of the sea. We can hardly even understand everything that goes on in an environment of life and of the sea and of all of that. And you're just talking about our planet, and those that know more about it than I do extend God's creation far beyond our mind's ability hardly to go out into with supernovas and the expansion of the universe and planets and beyond planets of stars. I think our sun is considered a medium star, and it is so powerful and so much. And God, and think about all that God created in all of this. Man is the crowning creation that God said, I made him in my own image. I look at the situations around me, of our country and of the world, and I look at the situation of mankind. It's kind of hard to fathom sometimes that we're created in the image of God. I've seen pictures of the homeless cities and the street people of San Francisco. You ever see those pictures of drug needles, the epidermic needles laying around in the streets? You see filth. You see where humans have been, open. Just you see the filth and the disgust of disease and of flies and you see people in these situations like this, and you see and I'm not putting down anybody. I love everybody, and I know God loves everybody and wants us to love everybody, but. And the cultural idea, and more, there used to be a time always frowned upon the saints and against the Bible, but there was a time that people would get a tattoo. Maybe put Susie on your shoulders. I mean, sometimes it would, a woman would have a little rose on her ankle. I've seen that in my time of growing up. There was almost none of that. And now there's something, man, is lacking. There's something he's reaching for. Now, it's becoming almost bodied. I mean, I'll be honest with me. To me, it's so ugly. It speaks of something that is ugly. It says of something of ugly. And when I look and I see people, it looks like that we should do better. I know there's no way of doing it, but I see the human condition. And all that human condition and all that situation and we're made in the image of God. Somehow it's hard to bring those together. We know the story. There was a virus of sin. There was a disease of sin that got into the creation that was made in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. We still have the capacity of that. We're supposed to be higher than that. We're not supposed to live in our own excrement. We're not supposed to live in that kind of a place, but depending on drugs and depending on uppers and downers and all of these things to make us functional and live. We're not supposed to have envy and strife in us. We're not supposed to have hatred and malice in us. We're not supposed to be killers, and we're not supposed to want to get a weapon and go shoot up a school. We're not supposed to do those things. We're not supposed to have that inside of us. We were created in the image of God. I think it was a psalm, and it was a reference to Jesus in that psalm, but it starts out and said, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him?" I think it goes on and says that we were created a little lower than the angels. We weren't created to be the beasts of the field or to rip and tear at one another, and we weren't made to have children confused and hurt in homes and families. We weren't made to be like that. There was an image of God that was created in that was supposed to make a man and a father and a mom and a woman and a mother and a nurturer and a carer of children. It's supposed to have children that are loved and cared for and in an environment where it's supposed to be. I know it isn't always like that, but that was what God made, and what he intended wasn't to be like some wolves ripping at one another. Wasn't supposed to be. I remember the story of the gas chambers in one of the the Nazi death camps and the story of a man who was a Czechoslovakian Jew who had come in late into the camp, and it was near the end of the war, and he was a strong man. He hadn't been deteriorated down, so they kept him for taking the bodies out of the gas chambers and putting him into the crematory. And so they kept the strong ones, and he was able to see this, and he saw the masses of naked human beings walking, had given up crying, praying, but they was marching towards those gas chambers, knowing by that point in time they knew what they was going to. And he looked at all of that, and how do you look at that and say, what human being can do that to another human being? How can you get to the place way back in Genesis? After the generations rolled by, you get down to a man named Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We know this story, but it said in the days of Noah that God looked down and the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. They just never, the sin had so worked in their life that the creation, what they had been created to be and to do, was no longer in them. They didn't have the capacity for it, no longer created in the image of God. I want to tell us today that you are still created in the image of God. And you still have the capacity to rise above. To rise above through Jesus Christ. It's what he came to do. He came to a sin-sick world that was living way, way, way below their privileges. And he came to bring that back. As the brothers said, come boldly. That invitation is not just to, that invitation is to everybody. And boldness is not the opposite of, pride is the opposite of humility, not boldness. You can boldly, humbly come. Boldness is the boldness that we have is in the sacrifice of Christ. I can't come boldly for me. But I can come boldly because Jesus died for me, and God accepts that sacrifice, and therefore I can come boldly. Yes, to come to the place that I don't have to live down in the trash. I don't have to live in the garbage. I don't have to live with the garbage of mind and of spirit. I don't have to hate, even though I'm hated. I don't have to go through that. We are created and still have the capacity. If anything, I would like to be able to preach a message to the whole world is that you're not created that way. There is I always mark it every time I'm there, and I haven't been there for years, but used to be we would go to Oklahoma City quite a bit and hold meetings and stuff out there, and Brother Lauren and Sister Maxine, we usually stay with them, and they always got these season passes for the zoo out there, this Oklahoma City Zoo. And so we got to go there, we'd go there about every time we was out there. And so about every year we would, at some point or another, we'd go. We've been there many times. And there's one display there that is of an eagle, and it tells on the plaque about the eagle. And the eagle was some way injured, and it couldn't fly. And you look at an eagle, you have an expectation of the eagle. But the eagle had enough that he could pop up on his perch, and he'd get up on the perch. But the eagle couldn't fly; his wing was messed up, and so he had been there so many years, and he was damaged. Somebody shot him out of the air or something. Anyway, but I always looked at that eagle with the same kind of idea. He's a beautiful. But he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Somehow, if that would have been a groundhog or a skunk or something that never ever got off the ground, hardly. It wouldn't be the same thing. He wasn't. They weren't created to do it. There's something pitiful about that to me. There's something pitiful to the idea of what that is supposed to be and what it is. What Jesus came for was to make us fly again. Yes. That's what Jesus came to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. There's a story in, it's one of the volumes of Streams in the Desert, I think. And there was a story in there, the guy was telling about two eagles that they had got from the nest. So the birds were never had flown yet, and they got these two eagles and they put them in a very small confined area for a display to show them. And they fed them and cared for them. And these eagles grew up to be magnificent creatures. They were, their feathers were so, they were so beautiful because they were never challenged. They never went through the air. These eagles were in such a confined place and people would come by and look at them and they glistened and they shined and their feathers were so pretty and they were just magnificent birds. But they never flown. They would never been in air. And so there come a time after years of this that there was never challenged. They never got to do it. They didn't do it. And so there come a time that they released these birds. They couldn't do it anymore. They released the birds. And that's the story. And these birds were pathetic. They were created to ride the winds. They were created to be able to get above all of the confusion and be able to see the glory of and the sight and what they could see. And they was created to do it, but they never done it. And so they let him go, and one of them takes and he tries to fly, and he flies in to this bog, and he didn't fly into the bog. He flopped into the bog. He got into the bog, and they kind of rescued him back out of there because he couldn't fly, and the other one kind of worked around until he finally was able after a while to get up on a perch so high, and some ordinary farm boy shot him and killed him and shot him over there and killed him, and the other one ended up with the same fate and they never got to do it. And the story was bringing out this. They were created. Again, if that would have happened to a black snake, or if it would have happened to some rats or something, we'd have said, but, you know, they don't do anything anyway. But these eagles were, they were created. They were created to fly. They were created to be above that. We're created to be able to love one another. We're created to look over the differences. We're created something so much more. We're created to have compassion. We're created to have pity. We're not created to destroy. We're not created to hate and to do all these things. We're created by the Creator in His own image. What does it mean? What do you think it means to be created in the image of God? I think it means that we can rise above. We're to rise above. The only problem is we become sin sick. We become sin sick and selfish. And now we deal with every problem through a selfish means. We look at everything through that. God's not selfish. We were created in the image of God. Lord, help us. You're here today. I hope all of us are doing what we're created to do. And you know, we could bring us down to even more. I mean, the world is so wrong. Is that okay? But if the world is so wrong. There was a time where the women's lib movement and stuff made it like it was something terrible to be a mother. Well, Lord help, we've all had one. We've all appreciated it. There's no higher calling. Ladies, there's no higher calling than to be a mother and a nourisher of children. You were created to be that. Men that think that manhood is somehow about getting the biggest muscles you can get to go beat up somebody, you miss what you was created to do. Yeah, you were supposed to have big shoulders and strong to be able to hold loads and even different mentally and all that. You were created to do something. You weren't created to take advantage of somebody or get the better of the deal. You was created in the image of God to be able to use that strength to better your family, to better your wife, to better society, to be a strong in society. There's a scripture in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. I'll read a little bit of it because it gives us an idea. What was we created for? Oh, I'll go back to fifth chapter of Matthew. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil, maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even publicans the same? That's the creation. That's what we're capable of. Jesus comes in and says to these, you've heard this, and this is the way that you would normally do it, but that you might be the children of your Father. That you might perform. He lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust. He lets it rain on the... He doesn't withhold anything. Do you know that there is very little, if anything, that Christians can go through that the world don't go through? Or I should say, there's very little things that the world goes through that Christianity don't go through. Well, many false prophets and teachers and things try to gin up a support and get people there by trying to claim that if you live right in the Lord, you're going to have a certain path and all that. That's not founded in the Scriptures. You can go through anything anybody else can go through. So what is the case about? That we're the children of our Father. I like to say, tell this when I use that scripture, but I always think of it. Out in the Pacific Northwest, there's they have salmon runs that come out there, and the life cycle of salmon is really, really interesting because they're hatched way up to the headwaters of these streams, and the eggs are laid up there, and the little hatchlings are just like this, and many, many of them don't survive. Many of the eggs don't survive, many of that, but there's hundreds of thousands and millions of them, and they end up, when they're hatched, they end up, their journey out of the river, and they come out of the river, and they go out into the great Pacific Ocean for 3 years. They're out there for about 3 years. They grow, and they mature, and at that cycle, they come back, and those that have studied it, and I can't do this by my own authority, but those that have studied it said that they will not go up a creek they didn't come down. They go back just the same trail that their fathers went, they go. They go the same. They will not go up. I don't know how they know it. You don't know how they know it. But God created them to know. And they know what stream they come down. And they know what one they're going to go up. And they go back up the same stream. And like I said, I don't know how they even determined that. But if you read about it, you'll find out that that's what they say about the salmons. And they go knowing, I don't know, say a fish knows, but they're going to die on this journey. The journey up the river isn't concluded by coming back down it. They will expend themselves completely. Their body mass is almost completely destroyed by the time they get to the spawning grounds. They go all their way, they do it, and they do it. The old ancient path that has been father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they go the same path and do the same thing that their father has done. This says that you might be the child of your father. God acts this way. God blesses the good and the bad. God blesses you whether you're right or not. God blesses the world. God blesses everybody. He said that I'm going to create them in my own image. I'm going to create them in my own image. I'm going to create something that is there because it is, not because it's made. You don't have to be love to love. God don't have to be love to love. He is love. And He wants us to have the same capacity in what He created us to do. The problem that's come into our human lives now is that sin has so touched us and destroyed us. And we're products. We're products of everything around us. I'm a product of Dorland and Carol Clevenger. I'm a product of an environment. I'm a product of all these things. How am I ever going to just say, I'm going to ascend better light living? Well, I'll wait till January 1st and I'll make a New Year's resolution and that'll change everything. Or I'll do something. No, it takes more than that. I mean, I remember as a child, and this is not in any way, I had good parents, but they were human parents. They didn't know the Lord and they didn't have the power and the strength. And I remember as a child, sometimes my mom and dad would be fighting up into the night. And I was 7, 8 years old and they were fighting. You know how damaging that is to a 7, 8 year old to hear fight your parents fighting and slamming into the wall. I heard all this stuff, and then of course I got up and went to school and got my fingers cracked by the teacher for not paying attention or not being able to do my work. How can I do my work? It was up half the night. I mean, I'm a product of my environment. I'm a product of the things. I learned how to cope with things and do things. And I learned how I would do it. And I learned that it's not within man to walk and direct his own steps. But that's what we try to do. And we fail. And we fail and we don't rise up to that level. And sometimes we can be like the world takes humanity. Like the people that took the eagles out of the nest. And they put it in an environment and make it pretty. They coat it and you say, what a beautiful creature. And that's what it does to humanity. We'll educate them. We'll groom them. We'll have them certain ways and certain things and all that. But when it comes right down to it, they can't fly. They can't fly. And we were made to fly. We were made to ascend this old world. And when that neighbor doesn't like you, see, we have the great privilege of being able to look at the author of our faith. And we have a privilege of looking to that one. It says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have the privilege of looking to Him and being able to draw something from that, because what we learn from that is that He endured the contradictions of sinners against Himself. Did He hate them? Did He despise them? Did He call the angels to destroy them? He was the Son of His Father. And when the disciples said, you want us to call fire down on these people? Jesus said, you're not flying, brothers. You're not flying. You wasn't created to think that way. This is the way you think. I came to the world not to condemn the world. I came that the world might be saved. Jesus was always soaring, wasn't He? Didn't Jesus always look above those things, do those things, and reach down? And I still marvel at it, because this human of me sometimes wants to blame. You know, we're very blaming. We want to find the fault, blame. You did that. Well, you called that yourself. Find me a place where Jesus really did that. People come to Him and He didn't say, well, you did this or you did that or whatever that. I mean, even Legion. I mean, Legion had to have something there that He did. Something. He done something. He didn't get into all that. He just simply cast them out. Yes. Lord, help us. As I look at the world many times, the message that burns in me that wants to say, when I see the old drunk laid in the ditch, when I see some Sister, recently I didn't ask, but I saw some woman that was just, maybe she was out fighting. I don't know what she's doing. Maybe she had a car wreck. I shouldn't judge her. But she looked like she had been handled roughly. And I know many that has. Many that has. I remember I had a school teacher in high school that she would come, a lot of times she would come after a weekend, she'd wear big sunglasses all day long. Even it didn't matter whether the sun was out or not. I mean, she would wear these big glasses because her husband had given what to it. He'd drunk and he'd come back and he'd beat her. And everybody knew that Miss Hamilton got it again. Really? Really? We weren't created for that. I look at the times that I've sat with my wife sitting across the living room, a fire in the fireplace, and the children were little, they was playing in the floor and those kind of things, and think at that time, thank you, Jesus, that I have this. Because this is valuable. This is what God wanted. This is the way God made it to be able to reach out a hand to somebody that's in need, to help somebody along the way, those kind of things. Scripture over in, familiar scripture to, I'm sure, first chapter of Romans. Oh, there's quite a reading here in this Romans scripture, so I don't know, I'll pick it up. 20th verse, maybe first chapter. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Yeah. Again, I'm not. I like to make the statement that as professing Christian people, we love everybody and our heart's desire is the best for them in every way. I don't want somebody to suffer in this life or the life to come. My heart is that if I could help them, feed them, whatever I could, that's what our heart, no matter what their lifestyle is. But there's bad lifestyles. There's damaging and corrupting lifestyles in this world. And being someone that cares, I would wish it better. Folks, this whole transgender thing is a lie. That is a plain out lie. It was made up. It isn't real. People are getting into it and believing it. I pray to God that it dissolves some way or another in people's minds. God has more than that for us. Someone recently said, I thought it was a powerful statement to be said of him. I mean, somebody that is high up that would take the ridicule for it, said, you're just right the way God made you. Amen. Their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. My message to you today, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, to remember to this thing, through Jesus Christ, we can ascend. We can ascend this old fleshly world, this old fleshly life. I am not a proponent of the idea that we just live in sin, that somehow there's some kind of miraculous deal goes on in the heavens and we stay the same old dirty, corrupt creature. I don't believe it. The Bible don't teach it. It says that Behold, all things become new. That's what I believe. If you got this, you got something that works and new and does something in your life. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things come new. There's something that happens inside of us that allows us to be able to get on a trail that we can fly higher than this old world. That we can reach up and we don't have to be in this kind of a place where it says that they, and this is the, you know, I think somebody mentioned the other day something about a song or something that said something about, or a statement said something about drinking a beer with Jesus. Well, that's the mindset. Instead of rising above, pull down. This is what he's talking about with this scripture, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship creature more than the creator. They corrupted the very idea. I had a guy I worked with. It was kind of a comical thing. He said, "Marty, do you like the Dallas Cowboys?" And I said, "Well, I don't pay no attention to it one way or the other." He said, "I like the Dallas Cowboys." I said, "Okay." And he said, I thank God's for the Dallas Cowboys." Well, I had an easy answer for that one. Well, they sure don't win enough to have God on their side. I mean, God will win all the time. But see what he done? God's just a human that picks teams. God, just look at it as a human. Yeah, I drink some beer. Jesus, my good old drinking buddy. Lord, help us. It wasn't meant to try to pull God down into some kind of a human form or way and think about God in some kind. He's my buddy. Well, he said he'd be a friend. But he's just my buddy. No. He lifts us up. He takes, and just in closing, I will say this. There is a scripture that says about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. There's something about the Lord. And I believe in redemption. I believe that humanity was broken and God looked down upon it and had a remedy for it. It couldn't fly anymore. And the further it goes, the more the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart is only evil continually. We look into the world today and it's so warped that way that it's amazing, because it said, scripture actually says, before he comes to be like the days of Noah. And you look at that and you think of this thought pattern that people has and the way they're thinking about these things. And it's like they can't have a wholesome thought. They can't have an idea that you can live better than that. Jesus from the cross said to those that was persecuting, to those that drove the thorns down, those that put the stripes on his back, those that had drove the nails through his hands, those that was jeering and cheering and ridiculing, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They did not bring him down to the low level of earth living. He stayed above it and he loved them anyway. And then there was a man, that's the Son of God. And we all say, sure, but that was the Son of God. But there was a man, sometime after that in history, whose name was Stephen. And he preached the word of the Holy Ghost, and he laid it to them. And they got angry at him. And it said they was gnashing their teeth, and they was... Oh, they were so angry, and they started stoning him to death. And this... mere man, mere mortal. He wasn't born to the Son of God. He was just a human being that had the Holy Ghost. And God had given him back his feathers. God had given him the ability to fly again. And in his last days, he flew. He looked and he said, "I behold Jesus standing on the right hand of God." But he said, "Don't lay this to the charge." He didn't throw the stones back. He didn't hate. He didn't do that. He rose. Yes. On eagle's wings. Yes, and he flew again. Yes. Lord, help us. No matter where each one of us at, I want to say, God has a life for us. To where, and the people that we admire the most, I appreciate it. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I appreciated the brother's testimony about being a child. That's not the worst thing it was ever said, for sure. But the testimony of being able to leave that with them, you know, that's what's going to make a difference. Because you see people that soars in their circumstance, that we really believe in the living God, and He raises us up on eagle's wings. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.